If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 412. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about sun, surf, and seafood, but with a Mexican flair as we go to Mazatlan, Mexico. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have two news stories for you. The first one is an interesting program from Via Rail Canada. If you're looking for going across Canada and you happen to be a musician, have they got a deal for you? You can get a free ride from Montreal to Halifax or Toronto to Vancouver if you agree to play your music on the train. That is, not to play from a boombox, but do a live performance on the train. There did not seem to be any stipulation that your music had to be train-related. And an interesting story coming out of Hungary, taking photos without permission is now illegal in Hungary. Photographers, as you can imagine, are outraged. Unlike in the U.S., where if you are in a public spot and you have, as the courts have determined, no reason to consider your activities are private, in Hungary you always need permission to take someone's picture. Think about that if you're planning on traveling to that country. Links to both those stories in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'm going to use the sponsor spot today to remind you of the upcoming Amateur Traveler trip. Now, this isn't for a year. This is for 2015 in April. We are planning a trip to Morocco. And if you're looking for details on that, just go to amateurtraveler.com/trip to get in the private Facebook group where we'll be talking about the details.
I'd like to welcome back to the show Craig Zabransky from stayadventurous.com. Come back to the show to talk to us about Mazatlan, Mexico. Craig, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back on.
And I say welcome back to the show. Craig was on the show almost 2 years ago talking about Bulgaria. So after you fall in love with Craig from this episode, you can go back and listen to him talk about Bulgaria. Craig, where is Mazatlan in Mexico? Let's start with that.
Sure. Mazatlan is on the west coast. It is, if a lot of people know, the Baja Peninsula, Los Cabos. And if you take Los Cabos and basically draw a line to the mainland of Mexico, you're pretty much right in Mazatlan. The interesting thing about that is it is the same latitude as Hawaii. So you could expect a lot of the same weather, same type of regions, tropical type stuff that you'll find in Hawaii.
Now, why should someone go to Mazatlan?
The main reason to go there is probably for a beach holiday. I would think from a tourist perspective, I think it has a great value compared to a lot of the other destinations that are very popular in Mexico, like Cabo, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta. Mazatlan has a different value, and it has a lot of differences, is the reason why I would definitely go there. The city itself is a city, so it's not definitely built on totally on tourism. It actually is a mid-sized city. It's the second largest on the Pacific coast of Mexico. And also, it's not the main industry is not tourism because of that. It's kind of under the radar type place. So it offers a lot of chance to mingle with some of the locals and really see how Mexico is as opposed to how Mexico tourism resorts are.
Now, I want to say that I heard more about Mazatlan maybe 10, 20 years ago than I hear today. Is that just me or?
No, and to be honest, that's probably the first time I went there was along on a cruise ship was right. down mm-hmm. the Love Boat. Maybe that's why a lot of people
well, there you
about
go.
It.
That's true.
It was one of the stops on the TV show. And I think it's back more in when its heyday was even a little bit before that. But now I really believe it's under the radar. It's not one of the more modern pitched resort areas in Mexico where a lot of the government and tourism dollars go. It's kind of really done locally within their own region. And it caters a lot or actually gets a lot of local tourism. So there's a lot of Mexico, Mexican families, Mexican tourism goes there as opposed to some of the other big areas which are catered on the international side. So I think that's why it's a little bit under the radar. And I think that that offers a special charm, which is a great reason to visit the city.
Excellent. And how would you approach the city? What kind of itinerary would you recommend?
I'd recommend, I mean, it's definitely not only beach holiday, but I mean, you're going to go there and spend some time in the sun. I always think of seafood, sun, and surf are opportunities to do there. But there's some excursions outside of the city, which are pretty good. So maybe leave a day or two for that. Whether you rent a car on your own or hop on some sort of tour type opportunity, it's definitely to see more of the charm in the mountain areas, some of the more Spanish colonial towns, or even just to head to a different beach where there's petroglyphs. There's a lot of opportunities to do unique things outside of Mazatlan. So I'd leave, if I was going to spend a week there, I would definitely think I'm going to go for a little bit of sun, relaxation, that kind of atmosphere for a couple of days, and then maybe 1 or 2 days just to do something cultural.
Okay. Well, let's start with the sun and the relaxation.
And sunsets. I have to always pitch sunsets. I love them. And on my site, of course, there's plenty for Mazatlan. It just seems like every time I'm there, I see one after another that really strike me as beautiful and amazing. Definitely okay. Sunsets are involved as well.
And any particular favorite beach for that part of our vacation or favorite seafood spot or?
Mazatlan is three main areas. There's Nuevo Mazatlan, which is new Mazatlan, and they started building that to move outside of the city. Probably after the 80s when you heard about it, there wasn't much development in the city. People started moving away. So there's more of the modern resorts are in Nuevo Mazatlan. Then there's the Golden Zone, which has all the main beaches from a local / fiesta standpoint. Here's where all the hotels are right on the water, right on the beach, one after another. Definitely spend a day or two there just capturing in that flavor. And then there's also the third area of Mazatlan, which is even further down the Malecón, which is a long seaside promenade.
Walk. Uh-huh.
Yeah, seaside walk, which in Mazatlan is basically a seaside ride because it's 11 kilometers or 8 miles.
Ah, okay.
It's huge, and it's a great way to – you definitely need to take the ride along the Malecón for sure. And then there's Old Town. Now, Old Town's where you go for dinner and walk around charming streets, and that's an afternoon where you could just kind of see how it was built back in the 1880s or around that time frame. Because Mazatlan, the interesting thing about it, as I keep bringing up others, is it's not a Spanish colonial city.
Mm-hmm.
It was built after Mexico was a country. So, and it was built new through a gold rush in the area. So it kind of has a lot of German immigrants, a lot of French immigration. It has a lot of other European mixes, which makes the colonial architecture much different from the typical Spanish one. So its plaza, its main plaza, which is Plaza Machado, is totally all cafes around. And that you have to – like that's one of my must-dos in Mazatlan is spend an evening there, have dinner there, enjoy the music that's there, just enjoy the festive atmosphere that is Plaza Machado.
Now, backing up here a little bit, your second area, and I don't remember the name of it, you had Nuevo Mazatlan, and then you had your second area that you said for where a lot of the locals go for beach and fiesta, and you had me at fiesta, but you didn't explain what.
Sure. No, it's the more festive, definitely beaches. It's in the Golden Zone.
Right.
It was
okay.
The original place that was built for tourism. So some of the hotels are being remodeled and redone from their older style, from even from the 1950s and 60s. I mean, here are places where John Wayne stayed. So he stayed there. All the, like, some of the Hollywood elite from golden era as they aged, 50s and 60s, this is where they vacationed a lot, on the coast of Mexico, and Mazatlan was a pretty popular spot. So hotels there are definitely one after another right on the beach, and that's where people are there. They're selling seafood on the beach. There's people in the water. There's Pacifico beers, because Pacifico, which is one of my favorite Mexican beer, is made in Mazatlan. Thanks to, as I mentioned, the immigrations from the Europe.
Germans. Okay.
The Germans. It's a Pilsner. It's a wonderful beer.
Well, and my understanding is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that some of the German Umpapa band music has had influence on the Mexican mariachi band.
It is. They call it banda, which is band with an A. And you will hear this music, and it's definitely Umpapa all the way. And when I was last there, they had tons of these bands on the beach. It was during Carnival, and they have tons of bands, and people would rent the bands, and they just play and follow people around. And the music is definitely a unique sound. It's not what you think of as typical Mexican music, but it's from this region, and it's definitely festive.
And I didn't realize until I got invited to Carnival, basically, in Germany, that there was a Carnival history, or that there is, that is embraced in Germany as well, up in northwestern Germany, rather. So, and we'll be talking about that sometime in the show, because I'm going there in 2 weeks. But
it's important to note, too, with Carnival, and I don't know if we'll bring it up later, it's the third largest in the world in Mazatlan.
Seriously?
And I was like,
really?
I was like, is that right? That can't be true. But I was there for one of the parades, and they said it's low estimate was 250,000 people to 400,000 people lined the Malecón to watch the parade. And I was there, and it was packed, and it was festive, and it was such a great time to visit the city. It was amazing, an amazing experience. Carnival, I was there in 2013. I'd love to go back every year.
And is it very similar to what we see when we see Rio or Trinidad or someplace in terms of Carnival, or is it very different because it's Mexican Carnival?
It has differences and similarities, as probably, which is the safe answer, but what you'd expect. I mean, they have a lot of very local Mexican things. They have a what they call the naval combat. One of Mexico's only, I think it's its only Navy victory was over the French in Mazatlan, out in the harbor. So they celebrate that in Carnival. So they own their ad, like, historic Mazatlan twists. But they have the parade. They have the queen of the parade. They also have a theme. And I'm not very familiar with all Carnival parades, whether or not there's always a theme. When I was there, it was Hollywood. So a lot of the floats were designed from movies that they love. Then there's a lot of Hollywood focus in Mazatlan, so that made sense. And it's usually all Mexican. It's all dance put on locals. But the last 2 years, and this year even a bigger contingency from Brazil comes. So they had the Brazilian flair. And literally, apparently on the news when I was there, it was like 50% of the news, and then 50% of the news time, the half hour, was all about Brazil. So it's like all the women, the guys, the different dresses, because it was unique. And like all the guys were like, oh, my God, the Brazilian women are beautiful. Meanwhile, Mazatlan has some of the most beautiful women in all of Mexico. And I'm like, you're spoiled here to begin with. But it was definitely a unique aspect to have the Brazilians involved as well. And I think it's a growing thing that they're trying to do to make it more international.
Interesting. Now, one thing we should say, you went there during a very busy festival, and I know some people would be concerned about going to Mexico because of safety issues. So the first safety issue obviously being some of the crime, which I understand is now dropping. Even in the worst places like Juarez, the crime rate or the murder rate is now less than New Orleans, but which I don't know that that's necessarily great for Juarez yet, but it's definitely bad news for New Orleans. But
that's an improvement.
Right.
Hey, and I was in Juarez last year as well, and I spent the night there, and I don't know what it was like when it's heyday, but it was certainly not the most dangerous city in the world. And if it was, the world was in good shape. But I know for Mazatlan, for safety, I was completely impressed, especially when you consider Carnival and Pacifico was there. So beers are not expensive, and it's especially because it's not international people paying. It's locals as well. Mazatlan, one of the things that impresses me is there's a huge middle class growing. So, but still, like 20 pesos or 15 pesos for a beer is not a lot of money during an all-day drink-a-thon that Carnival can be. And I never even as a gringo in the crowd, never felt threatened, never felt anything. And there was a couple of us, but we were just this very peaceful event. And it was impressive that a city that size could put on. And I've been to New Orleans and been to other cities where you feel like that little bit of edge. Mm-hmm. And I'm very comfortable in Mexico, so maybe that has something to do with it for sure. But I didn't even see anything or see police, any altercation, anything anywhere during all of Carnival. And that was impressive just to putting on a big show in any major destination,
right?
Let alone Mazatlan during the normal time frames. I'm not going to say it doesn't have its crime here and there. What city of hundreds of thousands of people doesn't? Mm-hmm. But I've never felt threatened or anything, especially in Mazatlan. It's a very chill, relaxed place that I found very safe.
Now, the other safety issue I think that people are concerned about is, you mentioned, for instance, in the Golden Area that they were selling seafood on the beach. So would you buy seafood on the beach, I think, is the question that people always ask me. Do you buy from the...
I did, and I lived. I didn't get sick. So that's, I'm one testament, one example. And one of the things that impressed me the most, so we ordered oysters, which can be dangerous, mm-hmm. one time, and they went... We took a tube, swam out, found the oysters on the bottom of the floor, brought them back, and shucked them for us. So, oh, I mean, wow. I don't know how much fresher you can get than I watched the guy put them in a tube and bring them back in and then shuck them for us. And then we were like, oh, we don't have beer. And another guy ran to the local beer store across the street and bought us an 8-pack. Mazatlan, just to give you an idea of the festiveness of it, they're not 6-packs. They're called ochitos. So beers come in 8. As opposed to 6. So it's definitely, it has its
I think that's just aspects. Because you're supposed to have 2 more friends with you, actually. I think that's what that is.
Which is probably the case, because in Mexico, families are big.
Right, right. Excellent.
But no, the seafood I tasted on the beach, it was fine, safe. Now, I don't always go by it all the time, but in this case, I did once or twice, mm-hmm. and I thought it was fine.
And then while we're downtown or while we're in Mazatlan itself, any particular... let's start with restaurant that we really ought to make sure that we hit.
There's 2 that I would make sure they hit. There's tons. In a lot of places, you can't go wrong as far as ordering the seafood. One of my favorites is El Aqua, which is in the Golden Zone. It's right on the water. It's a beautiful place. It's very colorful. The seafood was fresh. If you're in the Golden Zone, that's a definite spot to hit. And my other recommendation would clearly be in Plaza Machado, which you have to go to at one point. All the places seemed very nice, and new places are popping up on the outskirts as the city completes a complete revitalization. But the other place is Pedro and Lola's. It's on the corner in Pleasant Mazatlan. I even know the owner there. I've gone there so many times. So he comes out to say hello. It's just a great, great place to dine.
Okay. And then how about places you get in touch with the Mexican culture?
One of the great theaters there is, and one of the things that I would definitely recommend people do is to see a show at the Angel Perlerta Theater. She was an old opera singer that was very famous in Europe who was coming across and was going to live and play in Mazatlan. She caught a disease, whatever, typical Mexican sad story. She passed away before any performances, but the theater was named after her.
Hmm.
And the theater went through a complete revitalization. The amount of talent they bring there. When I've been there, I've seen shows related to Carnival, but I've also seen people who've played at the New York Met, all over the world, some of the top theaters and venues across the world. And here they are, Mazatlan's on there. And you're just like, wow, they played Carnegie Hall, they played here. And the amount of talent that they bring in. There's also it's one of the more cultural cities in Mexico because it has the university that really focuses on it. So Carnival there makes sense because of the artistry and the history and of that upbringing. Mazatlan also was it was the third city in the world that had a movie theater in the 1890s.
Interesting.
So when you think like, that's pretty, So the culture's always been a part of it in the arts. So there's definitely performances to see, and that theater is the place. And it's right off the square, too. You can't miss it when you go to Plaza Machado. It's great to go there for a show and then exit out into the plaza and celebrate the evening. That's definitely one spot that I would recommend for a theater.
Excellent.
I think for the culture, too, of the middle class, there's 2 other things I'd recommend, and there are more activities and probably sports-driven. I find sports are a great way to understand a culture. And maybe it's because I'm a guy and I love watching sports more so than maybe some other listeners. But one is baseball is a big surprise in Mazatlan. It's the most popular sport. Going to a game where you see, which is like probably getting to a AAA stadium, I would compare it to in the mm-hmm. United States. It's a sellout usually in certain sections. The fans are going nuts, but they understand the game too. So they follow the game, and baseball is very popular. And you just kind of think, well, that's very American, but baseball is very popular. And actually, the Mazatlan team is usually has a historical of being one of the better squads in their league. So that's always good. A lot of home base fans there. And the other thing I'd recommend for cultural standpoint, and some people will love this, other people would think it's probably cruelty, is they have a bullfighting ring, which is there's only a couple places in Mexico that still do.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you love it or dislike it, there is some artistry, there is some culture, there's a lot of history involved with that. And that's definitely with this connection to Spain. I happen to catch a match of one of the best bullfighters from Spain who actually fights the bull from atop a horse. And the amount of stunts he was able to do with his horses, well, was more of a show than anything else. And it kind of, I wasn't really focused on whether or not the bull was bleeding or anything like that or any that way. It was just, but you could see the fans, people that were into it, were very into it. And there's a bullfighting bar downtown too with a lot of the history and legends. And there's little things like that that really, what makes Mazatlan a unique spot. And it's one of my favorite destinations in Mexico.
Excellent. And so this is still, we're talking Spanish-style bullfighting where the bull doesn't walk out.
Yes, the bull does not. And I heard recently that in one other country, I think it was maybe South Korea, they do bullfighting where the bull lives. I think there's some countries
that
actually fight
with the bull. Yeah, they do that in southern France as well, where you just really try and dance around the bull and not get gored. And the bull always walks out fine, but not always the people who are in the ring.
They have these guys that are unique to Mazatlan that actually run and charge the bull between the horns. So they have a line of guys where the guy does that, and he doesn't have any weapon with the bull, but after the bull tires a little bit, the bullfighter usually lets him come in, and then they do their stuff, and this guy runs in front of the bull, and I actually met this guy in the bullfighting bar afterwards, and I was just like, I think you're nuts, because he doesn't even have a weapon.
Right, right. That would take a lot of Pacifico.
I bought him one after, for sure. But he had a fight the next day somewhere else, and he's like, wasn't drinking. I can't say I blame him.
Mm. What do the guidebooks recommend for Mazatlan that you would say, eh?
It's tough because I haven't really read many of the guidebooks, but one thing I'm sure that probably is on there is Deer Island.
Okay.
Now, Mazatlan is land of the deer. That's what it translates to in its native language, although, and everything is deer focused. So whether or not they're giving away an award, it'll probably be a deer. Whether or not the team is the deer, the Venados, the baseball team. So it's all about that there. I haven't seen any there. But Deer Island is one of the islands that has a little beach, and there's a couple that are off limits for bird sanctuary, et cetera, which you'll see when you look out of the harbor. But it's great to go on the water. But the thing I didn't like about it is you go across to this private excursion to a deer island, but then you look, when you're laying on the beach, you look back to a city. So it's not very beautiful. Okay. And that's why I'm like, if I was going to take an excursion and I was going to go to a beach just for a day and some beach water activities, whether it's banana boat or kayak or something, I would go, more likely I would go to a stone island, which isn't even an island, but it is what the name of it is. But it's on the other side of a river where the cruise terminal is. And a lot of times people take a boat there, and it's with Talapas. It's a much better excursion. That's what I recommend as a backup.
Excellent. You mentioned a couple different neighborhoods. Favorite one to stay or favorite hotel?
Well, for me, staying in the Golden Zone is great because you're in the middle between the two spots.
Okay.
So you have the beach and a lot more of the tourism activities, which can be touristic and cheesy. Maybe you don't like that, but you're there. You could go to Nueva Mazatlan, or you could extend out on some excursions very easily, and you could also take the Malecón, which is right at the end of the Golden Zone, all the way around into Old Town, which is a great ride to take. So I'd probably find myself staying there more than that. Next time I go back, I'd really love to stay in Old Town. A lot more of the boutique-y type hotels are opening, and I think that has something to do with also so the expat community developed down there, as well as this is a can I call it a trend in travel that people want more of that kind of atmosphere as opposed to a large resort, especially if you're going to stay in a bit of a more cityscape. Mm-hmm. And then you have to walk a little bit to a beach or something or to the water. But depending on what you're looking for, that's a great option. I've never stayed there. I've always thought next time I go back, I want to try it.
And I'm guessing that as you talk about riding down the Malecón, you're riding on a bike?
No, Malcolm's that long. You can ride on a bike. You'll see bikes. You'll see people roller skating. I'm talking about in probably I know one of the things you like to ask in your episodes is how to get around.
Right.
One of the things is a pulmonía, which is an open-air taxi. It looks like a souped-up golf cart. And okay. That's what you take around town. They go 30 to 40 miles an hour max, and you might be in traffic with other cars, but things are slower on the Malecón. Get in one of those. They're called pulmonía, which translates to ammonia, because they thought with the open air, people might get sick. So it's like the nickname stuck. They're very unique to Mazatlan. It's the only city or the only destination that has such cars or / taxis. Definitely something you want to take. You pile in the back. You can bring your Pacifica with you if you want. And you cruise down the Malecón, whether at sunset, whether during the day, or whether in the evening. It's a wonderful drive with the open air breeze. And you really get a chance to see a lot of the Malecón, because every so far, there's a huge sculpture. Unlike Puerto Vallarta, where you could walk all the sculptures, this is a huge walk. Again, 8 miles long. I mean, it's far. You can do it. You can bike it. It's a great way to do it. They even have a double-decker bus tour now in Mazatlan that people could hop on. And it goes down the Malecón, and they'll explain all the different sculptures. A lot have to do with the sea and the local inhabitants. And there's really some great historical aspects built into every sculpture, which is great. But most times you're just zipping by them in a pulmonía.
Excellent. Anything else we should know about the city itself?
One of the things I like to recommend people to do is, and people go to Acapulco and they see the cliff divers. So the cliff diving's in Acapulco. It's a very artistic, very theatrical event. Here in Mazatlan, there's a little corner at one of the ends, the opposite end of the golden zone on the Malecón. They have these cliffs and you could go up, and once the guy gets enough tip, there's like a few people that dive. And it's really cool. There's like a tourism aspect there too. You can buy your trinkets and stuff like that. Some of them are pretty good that you might want to take home if that's people do. That's why they sell them. But you get to see these guys dive off a cliff, and you don't have to wait for a show or pay like a big, you see one. And it's a kind of a unique aspect, especially when you're going into Old Town or you're riding in that area. Definitely always worth a stop. And usually your taxi driver or whomever would be happy enough to just pull over for a little while so you could watch one.
Excellent. And then you mentioned side trips.
There's a few that I love from here. From the adventure aspect, there's a chance to go on a side trip to a zip line. I've done zip line in many places. This zip line is also, you usually do a zip line and a tequila tasting. So it's kind of a unique aspect.
I don't know what the safety ramifications are of that, but okay.
You do the zip line first. It's one of the nicer 9 zips, good distances, very safe, well done zip lines. And I've done it in multiple places. It's probably one of my favorites zip lines. And I've done it a couple times there. And you could also ATV or horseback there as well. But you do the zip line. It's really great. It's Huanacoa. It's probably the only one in the area, so it's not hard to find. And then you go to what is or isn't tequila. It can't be called tequila because tequila is like champagne. It has to be grown in tequila region with certain agave from areas. But it is blue agave plant, which is the same. So it's 100% blue agave. And this actually has won awards in like the San Francisco spirits tasting. And it's really good and very economical. You get to see how they make it. And it's kind of like a small little boutique type tequileria, if I could call it that, where they make these. And It's a great little aspect, especially after the zip. You're kind of on adrenaline, and then you really get to shoot a tequila or two. It's nice. That's one excursion. Another for beach that I found amazing is, like, why go to a beach and go to another one? But there's petroglyphs, which are just a little bit further past the Nuevo Mazatlan, maybe about a 30-minute drive, maybe a little bit longer, depending. But you get to go on this beach area where there's all these rocks and stones that have all these designs, and they're not sure where they're from or why they're there. So there's so much mystery in them. I know people see petroglyphs and they're like, oh my God, that's great. You see one or two. There's hundreds of them. And you get to climb on the rocks with them. It's just kind of like an untouched area of just amazing. And they're building a museum. They have like a makeshift museum until the bigger one opens. It's a unique little spot. If you're into that, and the beach is beautiful and pristine because nobody's there. So that's a wonderful spot.
And what's the name of that spot?
Las Labradas.
Okay.
And there's colonial towns such as Copala, which is known for its wood carvings, or El Calite is one of my favorites, which kind of has this guy, Dr. Osuna, who has this restaurant, which is and he usually has cultural events there. If you look particularly on there, if you search for El Calite, which is Q-U-E, like K for what in Spanish?
Right.
And then Lite, L-I-T-E, El Calite, which is a great little town to visit. It's not a Pueblo Mágico yet officially, but I think it's on its way.
Meaning it is not a designated historic city in Mexico.
Right.
Okay.
Because there has to be a lot of, exactly, Pueblo Mágico, Magic Town. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes in it. I'm sure paperwork, but I think I've seen a couple of them. It's definitely a magical place. I'll put it there.
Excellent.
El Calite.
Very cool. I have been to Mexico, oh, I don't know, 18 times. What's going to surprise me when I come to Mazatlan?
Well, I think it's that it's the what surprised me the most is I don't want to call it the B-side hit that you love, but that was one of my first pieces after it. It's kind of like, I never heard of this place. I don't really know anyone that's been there, but wow, what a great destination. And I know that's very simple of an answer, but I mean, that's really what has me going there. I've probably been there about 8 or 9 times since 2009. So I've been there a lot and frequently. And before that, I've never been there except for the one time I was on a cruise in the 80s for a few hours, right? And that was when I couldn't even have a Pacifico or a 100% Blue Agave. I was a teenager. So it's definitely changed. And I found that about it. And each time I go back, there's always a little bit something like Las Labradas. I've been there so many times, I never heard of the place. And then I'm like, there's petroglyphs here? And there's nobody. Like, why isn't that more popular? Why isn't that known? Why don't people visit it? And I find that's it. Like, baseball is huge here? Really? Like, little things like that. And you go to a game and you're just entrenched like it's a major event. Like, I thought I would go and it'd be like people wouldn't be interested, or it would just be like a bunch of people drinking cheaper Pacificos or something because they sponsor the team.
Right.
But there's little things like that. Carnival, third biggest in the world? That can't be true. Then you go there and you're like, this is insane. This is huge. What a great time. And I find that is what I find about Mazatlan. It's under the radar, but yet it has so many little special things. It's a great destination for a vacation or to stop for a while. And I think what I mentioned early on, the first question, is that it's value.
Uh-huh.
I think if you compare a zip line cost of Puerto Vallarta to Mazatlan, you're going to do much better. You're going to have more pesos left over. You compare a beer cost, there's value in Mazatlan, and it's very comparable to like the Acapulcos and Puerto Vallarta's. So if people know those destinations and feel comfortable there, Mazatlan is definitely a natural spot to visit. One more surprise I'll mention is shrimp. Seafood I mentioned, but it is the commercial shrimp capital, again, I believe, of the world. There's more shrimp boats and more shrimp is caught into Mazatlan than any other place commercially. So the fish markets, you're looking at 30 to 40 pesos for a kilo, which is like a dollar something a pound.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, interesting.
And when you go to like restaurants, like the chains, they'll still charge more for shrimp fajitas. And I'm like, how is that possible? But it is. And you're like, that's chain restaurants for you, right? When you go to the Carlos and Charlie's of the world or the Senor Frogs. Which another surprise might be Senor Frogs started in Mazatlan. So a lot of things like that. Each time you go, you're like, really? The third city with a movie theater? Culture's big here for a while? Why don't I know this city? Like, why isn't bigger on top of people's radars as a destination? And I always found like, that's why I approached it. Like, let's talk Mazatlan. Because I feel like more people need to discover this place to really, and we'll find if they appreciate Mexico or want a beach holiday with a couple other excursions, this is a great option, Mazatlan.
Well, and you've been working more with the tourism board, and I see why. This is the love of Mexico that came before working with them. So,
yes, it is true.
One picture that brings back Mazatlan for you, the quintessential picture of Mazatlan for you.
It's the Plaza Machado.
Oh, okay. It's not a sunset. I am surprised.
Yeah, because I find the whole Pacific Coast being so sunset focused, but the Plaza Machado is where I really think the city shines. And that's because they revitalized the whole downtown. It's one of those stories where everyone was moving out. People got together, not the government, but the local hotel association. And I've learned all this from getting to know the owner, Pedro and Lola's, over time. He sat me down once and we chatted about it. I've even like gone back to his place and had a couple beers. I mean, that's how friendly this guy has been over the time. He told me the story over a couple of visits, and definitely the last one for sure, about just how they got together and rebuilt the downtown and how successful it's been. And now they're looking for another phase. And that's why I always think Mazatlan, because I like cities. I live in New York. I enjoy them. And so it's great to see like a seaside city and people were moving out on their own and everyone comes back. And like it's starting to revitalize the downtown. And I find that is probably the biggest story out of Mazatlan.
Excellent.
But thank you for plugging my sunset. I appreciate it.
Well, yes. If you're looking for pictures of sunset, go on Sundays to Craig's site to stay adventurous. And then you've also got a calendar. By the time this comes out, people may have already bought their 2014 calendar, but they can think about their 2015 calendar.
There will be a repeat. It's been rather successful.
That's great.
It was the first year, so I'm pretty happy with it. And people are really like, oh, you should do this again. And I definitely will.
Well, and I think you may have already answered. My next question is, what local would you love for people to meet?
Oh, yeah. The owner, Pedro Lopez, I think that's a star. And people know him so much where I've been in like Veracruz and I went to Atmex. And I don't know if we talked about that once time before, but the Adventure Travel Mexico Tourism Conference. And I sat next to a guy and we started talking Mazatlan at some point. And he's like, oh, do you know of course I know the owner, Pedro. Like he's like,
is his name Pedro?
No, Pedro and Lola are actors from Mexico.
So, okay.
Of course, he rides off into a sunset on a motorcycle. There's a sculpture of him. There's even like Hollywood stars for Mexican actors on mm-hmm. on the Malecón as well. So Pedro and Lola, it's a movie name.
Okay, got it.
So it's one of their famous films. And so his name is not.
Excellent. I've got three more questions for you, but before I get to them, anything else we should know before we pack our bags and head to Mazatlan?
And I think we talked about it already, but I would think it's definitely safe. Don't be concerned. It's very Mexican, which we've talked about already, which is one of the things I like about it. You're not going Spanish colonial history, you're doing Mexican history. So you get a different flavor from some of the other spots. And that history and culture is there too, which in some of the other more modernized destinations you're not going to find. And I think that's what its charm is. You're not going to find the best probably five-star hotel, although in Nuevo Mazatlan, the Pueblo Bonito Emerald is usually on a top list, top 10 in Mexico or top 20 resorts. It's there, but it's not the common thing like a Cabo or something of that mm-hmm. nature where every other resort is just immaculate. And you might have a couple of things, but it's real. I find that's what it is. It's like we talked about the B-side before. It's the B-side song that you love almost more than the hit. And I think Mazatlan is kind of what that kind of analogy always makes me think. After my first couple trips, I'm like, yeah, I should somehow spin that into a post. I never captured its essence. Hopefully I did here on this podcast.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Mazatlan.
The pulmonias. I mean, I really think like when you see them, when you're driving on the road in a golf cart, and there's traffic and you have a beer in the back and you're watching the Malecón, you're like, and you wave to other people. It's definitely, that's definitely puts a smile on my face for sure.
Excellent. And you really know you're in Mazatlan when what?
When you look at a menu in a restaurant and there's shrimp every way. It makes you feel like, honestly, Forrest Gump, that little scene, it brings me to Mazatlan too. Like there's shrimp, Diablo, shrimp this, shrimp, camarones, every which way you could cook a shrimp, you'll find it in Mazatlan.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Mazatlan in just three words, what three words would you use?
Shrimp, sunsets, and plaza.
Our guest again has been Craig Zabransky from stayadventurous.com. Well, I guess I answered the question of where can people go to read about your travels.
You can definitely read about them at stayadventurous.com.
Craig, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your obvious love for Mazatlan.
Thank you for having me, Chris. It's always great to come back.
In news of the community, I did want to remind you of a couple things. One is that trip to Morocco, if you're interested, amateurtraveler.com/trip. And the other is that the Amateur Traveler is now available and has been for the last month available on Live 365 as a streaming radio channel. So if you listen to streaming radio at work and you want to listen to some travel stories, there's usually about six different episodes that are streaming on a loop each week, and that changes on Wednesdays. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. You can also leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. Join the Facebook community or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. If you're on Twitter and want to tell people you enjoy the show, amateurtraveler.com/love. All of our links to sponsors are still available, amateurtraveler.com/credit card, amateurtraveler.com/tours. And thanks for your support of the show. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be